The 3-2 pitch. Breaking ball. Called strike three. Game over. Royals win. The Royals come from behind and beat the White Sox 4-2.
That was the first of two yesterday for the boys in blue in Chi-Town to take on the White Sox. Royals win game one, as you heard. Salvador Perez with a two-run homer back in the lineup after missing a game. Two-run homer, and that put the Royals up 3-2 in the eighth inning. And Hunter Renfroe, solo homer, gave him some insurance. James MacArthur finished off the game with his fourth save of the year. Royals moved to 6-0 against the White Sox in game one. Game two, the White Sox finally beat the Royals. 2-1 was the final as the White Sox win it. Royals held to just 5 hits in the game. Royals are now 12-7 on the season, 3-3 on the road trip. They have today off. They return home to start a 3-game set against the Baltimore Orioles at the K tomorrow evening. Matt Cutrero, manager of the Royals, on the split. They're on the road trip and the split of the Twin Bill.
Well, it's nice to win this series. You know, I feel like, you know, we feel like we left one out there. Didn't do a whole lot offensively in either game, really, until the late, you know, the homers obviously helped us in game one. But overall, you know, we played five really tight games on this trip. You know, to come out of here with the series win and a 500 road trip is better than the alternative.
Yeah, no question. Royals 12-7 on the season. As we said, they have today off. This is a sports ticket brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Talking about the Royals and the offense is what I mentioned as my concern, and I still think it's a concern for me in regards to the consistency of the offense throughout the year. I know a lot of people will point to the bullpen. Nobody's going to talk about starting pitching because it's been so great so far. Defense has been pretty solid. But you do look at the Royals and, like, who are the top flight pitchers they've faced so far? They haven't faced dominant starters yet. So I think the jury might be out a little bit on the offense and what they do. And honestly, right now, their offense isn't clicking that great. On this road trip, they had one pretty good game against the Mets. The last, the White Sox series, it's not like they're hitting the cover off the ball, low-scoring games. Salvi's hitting the ball well. Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pascatino's come on. But now, suddenly, everybody else has kind of gone a little bit quiet. You know, Garcia got off to a nice start, and now he's not doing as much. So it's an up-and-down situation. As we talked about, it's a marathon, not a sprint. We'll get to local sports here with Dusty, and then I want to share a local story with people as well.
Yeah, schedule for today, Beloit baseball and softball taking on Southeast of Saline on the road. The baseball game, if you're headed out there, is not in Gypsum today. It's actually in Salina at Matson Field due to the field conditions there at Gypsum. So if you're headed to Beloit, Southeast of Saline, those games are in Salina. Matson Field, 3 o'clock start time for the doubleheader this afternoon. Softball will still be there at Southeast High School there in rural Gypsum. So you'll be all right there for softball. Their fields are good. 3 o'clock start time for that as well for Beloit at Southeast Saline softball today. Sylvan Lucas Lincoln is hosting Kinsley in baseball this afternoon. Doubleheader starting at 4 o'clock, and the Sylvan Lucas softball team at home against Republic County at 4 o'clock this afternoon as well. And Beloit hosting their annual golf invitational this afternoon on the boys' side at 3 o'clock start time. Beloit, Concordia, Osborne, and Smith Center competing here this afternoon at the Beloit Golf Invitational from the area. So that's what's going on today. If you're ever looking for the full schedules and news and info for high school sports here in North Central Kansas, you can always check out ncksports.com for local sports.
Okay, so I want to share a local story, and this indeed could be good news of the day. And I didn't share it yet this week because there's a lot of things that are going on. So I wanted to have a little bit of time to share this. And as people know, our middle son, has a disability, special needs child. He has Down syndrome. But there are many people that that have kids that have special needs or disabilities or challenges, okay? There are kids that have ADHD. There are kids that weren't blessed with all of their extremities, born with tumors, and they have to fight as soon as they come into the world. All kinds of examples. So on our baseball team, we have a young man named Colton. And Colton, the other day, and I like to take a little bit of credit for this, because he made me look good, okay? He made me look real good. So Colton is a team player, and he doesn't complain about anything. He just does what he's supposed to do. Really good kid, and has very good parents. And I think many times when your kid is a good kid, it reflects on your parents. Just as if you're a bad kid, I think sometimes it can reflect on your parents. Not always. There's exceptions to every rule. And so this past weekend, we had a one-day tournament in Salina. And we batted the entire lineup, which we have 11 kids on the team, batted the entire lineup in the first two games of the tournament. The final game of the tournament, we had two kids that were on the bench, and we batted nine. And we usually try to rotate kids in, at least defensively. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Most of the time we do. And our kids weren't really attacking the ball defensively in this game. We were ahead, then we were behind. And so we had a kid, no offense to him, great kid, that's a little bit slower in left field. And so when you have baseball games, when you warm up, when you're on defense, you have, depending on what your dugout is, and we were on the third base side, your center fielder warms up throwing a ball to the right fielder, and they play catch, while the infield's working on ground balls from the first baseman, throws a ball while the pitcher's throwing his 5, 6, 7, 8 warm-up pitchers to the catcher. Your left fielder, since you're sitting on the in the third base dugout, the left fielder is playing catch with somebody that's on the bench, mm-hmm. or if there's nobody on the bench, a coach will go out there and warm up the left fielder. So we're midway through this game, and Colton is warming up with a teammate. And all of a sudden, I turned to our head coach, because I'm just an assistant, and I turned to our head coach. I said, hey, why don't we put Colton in left field defensively? I said, a little bit more speed. He said, yeah, sounds great. So put Colton in left field as a defense replacement, but he still wasn't going to bat, which we can do. And so we put him in at left field. So we get later in the game, and the game is tied. And I believe, I can't remember if we were the visitors or the home or whatever the case may be. But anyway, it was a tie game. And there is this rocket that has hit the left field. And Colton goes back. And I had a feeling he was going to catch this one. Mm-hmm. He goes back and he jumps and he snags it. We're like, whoa, what a play, what a play. That's awesome. Remember, it's a tie game. So he makes a catch. If it goes over his head, goes to the fence, that kid's sitting on two or three. He's the winning run or the lead run. A few pitches later, so that was a second out. A few pitches later, a rocket down the left field line that's heading foul, but a rocket. Colton makes a tremendous jump on the ball, dives head first into foul territory, and catches it. And we all go bonkers. Mm-hmm. Those are two well-hit balls, one that could have very well, most likely, many times would have gone to the fence, maybe an inside-the-park homer. A second one that there's no way anybody else on the team makes that play. I don't think there's anybody else on the team that would dive for that ball, mm-hmm. let alone make that play, except Colton Boeheimer. Do you know who Colton Boeheimer is? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. That sounds pretty amazing, what I just described, right? That's pretty cool. A kid goes in, makes a couple of game-saving catches, and the crowd goes nuts, and the teammates go nuts, and us coaches go nuts, acting like schoolboys. Pretty cool story, isn't it? But there's more to the story. Colton has one hand. That's not a joke.
You told me his last name. I didn't know what his last name was, but when he told me the last name, I was like, I'm no longer surprised.
Right.
Because I know the kid. Right. Now, the part of the story you're telling, a lot of people might not know, right?
Right. That's where I'm getting to right yeah. now. So that story sounds pretty doggone amazing and pretty cool. But you're like, well, that maybe happens. Colton has one hand. Colton made two amazing plays that kept the game tied. He has one hand. And I must say that we haven't used this that I remember yet in practice or in games, but maybe we should sometime for some of his teammates who get a little bit way too upset or too put too much pressure on themselves or don't stay focused or don't make a play or don't dive or don't hustle. If a kid with one hand can make a diving catch, why in the bleep can anybody else with two hands? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we go bonkers. So we then are coming up to bat. So I believe we were the home team. And I'm going over to coach first base. And we were playing a Salina Scorpions. And their coach says, wow, those were two amazing catches. That second one was one hell of a catch. I said, pretty good for a kid with only one hand, huh? He said, what? I said, yeah, he has one hand. He goes, how does he do that?
Yeah.
I said, well, I said he has the glove on his hand, okay? And then when he has to make a throw, he has to switch the glove to his nub, which is on his right, mm-hmm. where his right hand would be, and then he's able to transfer the ball, and he's able to make a throw. Does it take him a little bit longer to make the transfer? Of course it does. He goes, how does he bat? I said, well, it's not easy. I said, does he bat basically one arm? I said, yes, pretty much. He has a special knob that is on his bat to help balance the bat with the nub on his right arm. He doesn't have a hand. His left hand, then, is his swinging hand, and he can put the ball in play from time to time. It's harder the faster pitchers throw, obviously. Mm-hmm. So that's not easy, and I know it's frustrating for Colton, and we are so pulling for him every time he's at the plate to, you know, just put the ball in play because he's so fast, he can beat it out. Mm-hmm. And he goes, wow. He was just absolutely stunned. He goes, that's amazing. He goes, he's got to be pretty proud of himself, and so is his family. And I said, oh, yeah. And I said, we are too. It was so cool. Sad thing is, Mom wasn't there to see it. She usually is, but mm-hmm. she had something going on, so Dad saw it. So I talked to Mom last night because we had a scrimmage against that same team down in Salina last night, and Colton pitched for the first time in that scrimmage. And I said, hey, was there a video of that? No, there wasn't. I'm like, darn, I wish there was a video of that. And I feel sorry that she wasn't able to see it, but she's heard some amazing reflections of it. And when you have a disability or something that is adverse to your chances of succeeding, people want to put limitations on you. People, obviously, including even myself, can put limitations on my own child. And there are limitations. It's not being mean. It is a fact. Parents know that. Family members know that. But that doesn't mean that you can't exceed expectations and that you can't limit your limitations, if that makes sense. And when I first saw Colton Boeheimer play baseball, immediately, the first image I had in my head was Jim Abbott.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Abbott was missing a hand as well. His right hand. A left-handed pitcher. And Jim Abbott made it all the way to the big leagues and had a pretty doggone good career. And he also threw a no-hitter, which was an amazing story for mm-hmm. those that have disabilities. And there was nothing that Colton did for him not to have a hand or anything like that. Kids are born with defects, or kids are born without, like I said, a limb, or they're born with Down syndrome, whatever it might be. But for Colton to do what he did last Saturday and to be such a good team player, and he doesn't play all the time, and it is tougher, obviously, for him to do certain things. But you know what is great about Colton? And what's great about his family as well is that they don't tell him, don't go out because you're going mm-hmm. to be not, maybe you'll struggle versus pitchers, or you shouldn't play because you're not going to hit a fastball, or, you know, it's going to be tough for you to pitch, or it's going to be tough for you to play any position except outfield. No, they don't do that. And Colton doesn't sit here and say and wallow in pity and not play sports. So I wanted to share that story because it is pretty amazing stuff. And what he did, even if he had two hands, were pretty amazing catches. But to do it with one hand, and I'm sure people listening, I did this on purpose, of course, You were picturing all this. Were you picturing him with one hand? No, you weren't. And that's why I did it in that order. Because then all of a sudden,
glad you
like,
said the you waited for the last name in that order, too, because yes. I was picturing it a different way, too. Right?
That's what I wanted everybody to do.
I'd have known right away if you said the last
name. Exactly, and I didn't want to do that. So it's pretty amazing stuff. I wanted to share that. Proud of Colt.
I've been lucky enough to be friends with the family, right, and actually be around him when he's just hanging around with like his cousins and his siblings and stuff. He's not afraid of anything.
No,
like,
he's
that
not.
That kid is not afraid of anything.
No.
And he's a good kid. He's not. I actually love
Henry, good kid.
He is. I love being around the kid, actually. And, well, all of them I love being around just because I like kids and I have nephews, and that's just kind of my thing, and seeing kids grow up is always fun. But, yeah, that's always I don't even think about that part of Colton, to be honest with you.
Yeah, anymore, oh yeah,
because I'm just so used to being around him, and but it is interesting to hear the story from a different perspective of you telling the coach of the other team about him, right? Because I know about him, and again, like, it's something that it just doesn't even register anymore with me until you tell a story like that. So it is that is a fun story for sure.
Pretty awesome stuff. Coming up in 30 seconds, we'll take a look at the NBA, a lifetime ban for gambling. We tried to warn people. Caitlin Clark's going to cash in, and Jason Kelce lost his ring.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Did you know that we sell tires? We also perform alignments and all the other services that go along with them. We handle all the top brands. Extras like road hazard warranty, complimentary tire rotations, and complimentary tire repairs are available for purchase on most tires. Right now, we are offering $80 off when you buy a set of four. Call or stop by Kiever Brothers Automotive for fast, friendly tire services today. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit or on the web at KieverBrothers.com.
Jaquez trying to get free. Jaquez takes it, fires a three. Won't go. Rebound, Highsmith. Fakes, brings it back out. Hero fakes. His three-pointer, it's up. It's good. One-point game with 0.3 seconds remaining. Ball knocked loose. And that'll do it. The Heat arguing that there should be time on the clock. The Heat players talking. Tony Brothers says no, the game is over and the Sixers survive.
Eastern Conference play-in tournament games last night. The 76ers, who were down double digits, come back to win at home over the Miami Heat, 105-104. So the Sixers, who were down by 13 in the third quarter, fight back and then hang on. And Joel Embiid didn't have a great night, but he was clutch down the stretch. He had 23 points, 15 rebounds, and he helps lead the Sixers to the number 7 seed. They'll face the 2 seed Knicks in the first round of Eastern Conference playoffs. The Heat will have more and more opportunity to make the playoffs as they will host the Bulls coming up tomorrow night for the 8th seed. The Bulls had few problems in a 131-116 win over the 10 seed Hawks last night as Kobe White, who used to play at North Carolina, had a career-high 42 to lead the Bulls. The Heat, you may be saying, well, the Heat's going to, you know, they're going to win the next game, and then they're going to take on the Celtics, and man, they're going to give the Celtics all they can handle, and the Heat were in the NBA Finals last night, but there is major concern right now for the Heat and their star player forward Jimmy Butler, who's feared to have suffered an MCL injury in his right knee. Happened the first quarter last night, and he played through it the rest of the game, but he was not himself. And had he been, I don't think the Heat would have lost last night. They're going to get some more clarity with a forthcoming MRI, but there's not much time because you got to play tomorrow in an elimination game. But it did happen early in the game last night to the 76ers, so the Heat are in some trouble definitely without Jimmy Butler, or even if Jimmy Butler is not close to 100%. You know, there are times when we are dead wrong on the show, and then there are times where we are spot on. And if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you know that I've been sounding the alarm and the bell for a few years now. Ever since the Supreme Court let legalized gambling happen outside of Nevada in Vegas, and took, I don't know all the legalities of it, but anyway, they allowed this all to happen. So then states individually can decide whether or not they want to legalize sports betting and gambling. And, of course, the state of Kansas has legalized it. And oddly enough, 80%, 80 cents on every dollar goes to a fund to help attract professional sports teams to the state of Kansas. So legalized sports betting could actually help Kansas get the Royals or whoever it might be from Missouri. Possibly. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it could. 80% of legalized sports betting money goes into a fund that'll draw interest to try to attract the professional team to the state of Kansas. It wouldn't that be huge for the state of Kansas? Missouri does not have legalized sports gambling. Some states do, like Kansas. Some states don't, like Missouri. But there's more states that do than don't, and there's going to be more that will. And I said this when this happened, that I'm not against it. I have no dog in the fight. I am not a gambling type of person. I like to make little wagers with my friends here and there. I listen to some of my friends talk over and over about, oh, I bet 6.5 on the over-under in the fourth quarter. I'm like, it's just like foreign language to me. Like, why do you bet within the game? Like, just bet, keep it simple. Bet the game and be done with it. Then you have less worries, less concerns, less stress. And but that's what people like to do. You know what? I like to have a beer. Some people are like, oh, how dare you drink a beer? You're going to kill yourself. Okay. Well, you know, so we to each their own is my point. I'm not against people that want to gamble their own money away. I mean, I think it's silly. But, you know, if you want to do it, you can do it. Do it. You do it. So listen, I've gone to the casino. I play blackjack. It's fun. It's entertaining. I don't go there thinking I'm going to get rich. I don't go there thinking I'm going to make any money. In fact, I go in thinking I got $100, and that's about all I put up, by the way, maybe 20. Like, if I lose that, I'm done. I ain't going to the ATM cash machine over here. No. If I lose $100, I know I'm okay with it. Like, if I can somehow play blackjack for 2 hours and I only lose $50, I'd call that a win. I'm cool with it. I paid for some entertainment. You know, if I go to a Royals game, in 5 minutes I can spend $50 on concessions or a couple of beers. So I have no problem going to the casino, having a good time. When I go to the casino, I love to watch people, and that's free. My wife loves to do that. Mm-hmm. We'll watch the people flush their money down the toilet, as I call it, on the slot machines. I love old people just pulling on that thing. Ding, 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 ding. And then you got the lurkers, which you saw that in Friends. Remember that with Phoebe? You got the lurkers just waiting to pounce because they think they know the next one's going to be the game winner, right? And it's fun. It's entertaining. It's something to do. And if that's what people want to do, once again, I have no problem with it. And if it helps bring a sports team to Kansas City, keep gambling till your dreams come true, people. But I'm not that one of those type of people, so I have no dog in the fight. So if you want to legalize sports gambling across the country, fine. If you want to, you know, have it in every single town in America, fine. But there are consequences. And I said it from the very beginning. Dusty knows this. Anybody that listens on the show on a regular basis knows this. I have sounded alarm repeatedly over the last few years. And I've been way ahead of anybody across the country that's on a national platform about this. And one, when it was brought up, I brought it up and a few people told me, like, oh, well, nobody's gonna be dumb enough with all that money. And I said, yes, there, of course there will be. If there are people dumb enough to risk their life and get thrown in jail like Henry Ruggs, you don't think there are people dumb enough that makes millions of dollars that still will make $20,000 wagers and somehow bet on their own sport or eventually their own team? You don't think there's going to be officials that do it? I already know it has happened. We know it with the Tim Donaghy thing, the information given to the mafia and how that. And we, by the way, he wasn't the only one. Please stop with that. So it already had happened before this whole Pandora's box opened with that, with what happened a few years ago. And so when these states legalize sports gambling, everything is super accessible to you. I mean, we've talked about it. Dusty can go on his app. Boom. He can make a bet right now on combined points by these two athletes or whatever it is. And when the game starts out as, hey, the Bulls are a 6-point favorite and all of a sudden they're up 15 at half. Now suddenly the line's completely different, right? And or you can bet over under for a quarter. There's so many things you can bet on. My mind about explodes when I think about all the things that people can bet on. And that's, once again, fine. But once again, there are consequences. I have said this, and you know this, till the cows will or have come home, that there will be gigantic gambling scandals in professional sports. And we talked about the Ohtani one that some people believe is a cover-up right now. I don't know if it is. I can't say that. All I know is there are some rumblings. We have seen a college baseball coach be dumb enough to get fired for placing bets. We have seen Calvin Ridley get suspended for a year for wagering. And I've talked about how officials, coaches, managers, Pete Rose, of course, did. This is before all this other legalized sports gambling. And I talked about how players will. And will there be a star player that'll be dumb enough to do something or think they're able to get away with it? I think at some point there will be. I really, truly believe that. But we have one now, and I'm not surprised at all. The only thing that surprises me is that hasn't happened sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know what I'm talking about, Raptors forward Jontay Porter has been banned for life. Let me repeat that. Raptors, Toronto Raptors basketball forward Jontay Porter has been banned not for a season, like Calvin Ridley. He has been banned for life by the NBA. What could be so horrible that Jontay Porter was suspended, not suspended, banned for life from playing in the NBA? He's 24 years young. What'd he do? Go hot rodding in Vegas and kill five people? What would he, did he shoot somebody up? Rape? Rob the bank? This has got to be pretty bad, right? Porter allegedly bet on games, passed on information to gamblers, and claimed illness to influence a wager. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said in a statement, "There is nothing more important than protecting the integrity of NBA competition for our fans, our teams, and everyone associated with our sport, which is why Jontay Porter's blatant violations of our gaming rules are being met with the most severe punishment." End of quote. Now, you're going to get lawyers involved in this because they're like, he should have a right to appeal. Technically, in NBA, you can't appeal this. Porter's played most of his professional career in the G League, but the Missouri alum did play in 26 games a season for the Raptors, averaged 4.5 points and 3 rebounds per game. He is the younger brother, I believe, of Michael Porter.
Yes.
He plays for the Denver Nuggets. Now, you may sit here and say, he's 24, he's just got into the league, he's been fighting his way in the G League, was it really worth it? Well, according to various stories, he placed wagers going all the way back to 2021 before he was really in the NBA per se. You know, I mean, he was in the G League, so forth and so on. The league's report concluded that prior to the Raptors game against the Sacramento Kings about a month ago on March 20th, Porter disclosed confidential information about his own health status to someone he knew was a bettor. Another bettor then wagered $80,000 on a parlay bet that would have won $1.1 million if Porter hit the under on his player props. Porter subsequently removed himself from that game after less than 3 minutes due to a illness. Thus, he was under all those props, wasn't he? Due to the unusual activity, the bet was frozen and never paid out. Licensed sports betting operators brought the suspicious bets to the NBA's attention, which sparked the league's investigation. Over the last few weeks, the league has also found that Jontay Porter placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using an associate's online betting account from January through March of this year. All told, Porter wagered $54,000 and got a payout of $76,000, so he resulted in a net winnings of $22,000. Which is a lot less than what he makes playing on NBA roster. So you're probably thinking, what right now? Why would somebody be so stupid to wager $54,000 and win $22,000 when he makes way more than $22,000 or even $54,000? Mm-hmm. And only Jontay Porter can fully answer that question. Sure. Is it the thrill of betting? Is he addicted to gambling? Is he getting a kickback from other people that we don't know and he makes way more than the net money that he placed? These are just bets he placed, but what other information did he give to people? And that was the whole thing with Tim Donaghy in the NBA. Giving information, knowing trends, knowing that Allen Iverson's going to be called for carrying the ball because certain officials working in his game when he played for the Nuggets. If you watch the documentary, that's one of those examples. And people, this information was fed to people within the mafia. And they knew how to make money by this information. And then somehow Tim Donaghy became a rogue agent once one of the people that was working with him to bring down this whole thing ended up changing sides because the NBA allegedly bribed that person to come to their side and help make him the scapegoat. I'm going to tell you right now, Jontay Porter is not the only NBA player doing something like this. Are the others smarter? Are the others a little bit better at hiding it? Perhaps. Maybe they haven't placed as many bets. Maybe they're not placing bets, but they're providing intel, confidential information to help people make money and they get a kickback from it. That'd be the way to protect yourself, mm-hmm. wouldn't it? But when you start winning, you start to get cocky. You start to get a little bit confident, right? Think about it. If you gamble and you go to the blackjack table and you're up $400, all of a sudden you're like, you know, the limit, the minimum bet here is $10, but I got I got $300 in chips here. I'm up $200. You know what? What the hell? Let me throw a $50 chip on this hand. Oh, no. I got to split. I got to split them. Now you got to put another 50 down. And you got 19 and 20, or 18 and 19. Like, I feel pretty good. And dealer, boom, jack and a jack, 20. Boom, done. $100 gone. Just like that. You lost half of what you won the last 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Because you get cocky. You get confident. And I think it's no different for people that bet. When you start making money, hey, you know what? I'm getting away with these small bets. Now we'll start to bump them up a little bit. I can make even more money. Ooh, I can fake an illness and I can help make some money for this guy and he'll give me a percentage. This is what some people warned professional sports about. This is what people warned society about. And for anybody that is surprised by this, really does live underground. And I wish the whole country could listen to my show for just this one topic. That's it. Just this one topic. Because this was something so predictable and so easy to call. And for some reason, all these people that get paid a ton of money nationally, either they're afraid to say anything because there's conflicts of interest and they think they might get fired. Which goes back to something we said yesterday. People scared to say what is truthful. People afraid to blow a whistle. People afraid to say something because somebody will take it out of context, even though that's not what they meant to say at all, but they know people somehow will be wild enough to do it. There are consequences for betting on sports. Jonte Porter is facing those consequences now. And I bet right now he's going, was it really worth making that much money? Probably not.
Yeah.
So he risked everything, whether he was addicted to it, whether he loved the thrill of it. He's only 24. That's really a part of the sad thing here. And then what do people do? And listen, I have a family member that's done this with me. And I understand where they're coming from. I've heard society say this. What Pete Rose did wasn't that bad compared to, well, O.J. Simpson's still in the Hall of Fame. Why wasn't he kicked out? He murdered somebody. Well, technically, he was acquitted. Well, but he went to prison for holding up somebody in a hotel room, gunpoint. Why wasn't he pulled out of the Hall of Fame? And if he's going to stay in there, why in the world isn't Pete Rose in? Shouldn't it be based on what he did as a player? And have nothing to do with when he wasn't a player? And I get that argument. I do. There's double standards everywhere. I have heard from people that have met Pete Rose, he is a major AH.
Mm-hmm.
He is a jackass. Now, I don't know that personally. I'm going off of people that have actually met the man. Does that mean that he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame because you don't like him? You know, people that don't agree with something you say or something you didn't even say, but people take it out of context, does that mean that that person's a horrible person, but you're going to suddenly treat them like dirt and turn on them when you supposedly were a friend or an acquaintance? That seems to be quite the, you know, extreme, doesn't it? And so here's how I feel. If Pete Rose bet on baseball while he was a player, I understand him not being in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. If he bet on baseball as a manager, which we know he did, I still think he should be in the Hall of Fame because he should be based on what he did on the field. He's the all-time hits leader. He should be in the Hall
Nobody's
of Fame.
Nobody's going to touch it.
Ever. Nobody's going to touch it. Barry Bonds, there are people that didn't like Barry Bonds. A lot of media people, they love the fact that they can keep Barry Bonds out of the Hall of Fame. Okay? Everybody wants to say there's asterisks there. They're not. It's your own asterisk you put on it. Makes it convenient to fit your narrative and agenda. But Barry Bonds is not the nicest person in the world from what I've read and heard with media, and maybe there's some media that deserve that. I don't know. But Barry Bonds is one of the best players I've ever seen before and after he took steroids. And the substances he took were not illegal at the time. Baseball didn't have the drug testing at that time, right? If they did, it wasn't that substance.
Berries at the end were illegal.
Maybe.
Yeah. Mark McGuire's were not.
Right. Andro.
When he did it. But berries were, if they actually find out what it was that they're accusing him of. Again, they've never found the actual thing in his body that's been proven that he did it. But what he was using, what people say and think he was using, if you're Victor Conte or whatever, it was illegal.
Right. But he was an amazing player before he did it.
Absolutely, it was.
And I would say that if you took out his numbers there towards the end, he's still a Hall of Famer. And people try to keep him out. But let's get back to Pete Rose for a second. Pete Rose, to me, if O.J. Simpson isn't taken out of the Hall of Fame for the horrible things he did, which, then why is Pete Rose not in the Hall of Fame? And this is where I'm trying to go with this point. This is what people say. And I get it. O.J. did all these criminal things with guns. Of course, many people in America believe he killed his ex-wife and Ron Goldman. I don't think there's a lot of people don't think he didn't. But he had good defense and so forth, and he got off. But there are players and athletes that have done much worse things than gambling. At least that's how people see it, right? Mm-hmm. From the outside looking in, you say to yourself, okay, Pete Rose, this guy, they're not the nicest people. Fine, but they were amazing players. And I don't understand why Pete Rose is punished so much, but then this guy can go out and get charged with assault. He can go drive a car. He can be drunk driver 3 times, you know, so forth and so on. I'll give you an example. Leonard Little killed a mother and a child, if I remember correctly, at least a mother, as a drunk driver when he played for the St. Louis Rams. And a few years later, he was in the NFL. He wasn't lifetime banned. He's found guilty of manslaughter. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't lifetime banned. Boy, to me, that should be, if you killed somebody, I think you should be banned from the sport. That's just me. But he wasn't. But Pete Rose is banned from gambling. Well, Calvin Ridley just placed a bet or two. He's suspended for a year. Yet, Deshaun Watson isn't suspended for a year for the multiple masseuse people that he supposedly, allegedly, or whatever else he got involved with in sexual assaults and this and that. And I get it. People from the outside say this doesn't make sense. And then what's the next thing that people say? Why is it such a big deal? You're not killing nobody. You're not raping nobody. Nobody's dying. You're just gambling. It's just money. If you choose to lose your money, that's your prerogative. And I also get that thinking. Family member asked me, why is gambling treated so much more severely than some of these crimes that athletes have actually committed? And I said, it's pretty simple, but people don't fully understand it. It's the integrity of the game. Does the game lose its integrity if Larry Johnson beats up a woman? Remember him, running back for the Chiefs?
No.
Does the NFL lose its integrity when Lawrence Phillips drags his girlfriend down the stairs? When it was in Nebraska, and yet he's still drafted by the National Football League?
No.
Does the NFL lose its integrity when Andy Reid's son drives drunk and changes a 5-year-old's life forever?
No.
Does the NFL lose its integrity when Rasheed Rice wants to go hot rodding and have a race in Fort Worth, Texas, or Dallas, Texas, at 6:20 in the evening? No. Does the NFL lose its integrity if there are officials that are on the take? Absolutely.
Yes.
Does the NFL lose its integrity if one of their star players or any players are throwing games?
Absolutely.
Is the NBA, is its integrity at risk if they have a player that is betting on games and pulling himself out of a game by faking an illness?
Yes.
Because here's what happens. And I think there would still be people that would watch it. We know, I hate to break this to everybody, WWE isn't real. Some people actually think it is, but it's entertainment. It's all made up. It's all fake. And it can be very entertaining. Don't get me wrong. But we know it's fake. We know it's rigged. They know who's going to win ahead of time. Will people still watch the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball, college or pro sports, will they still watch the sports if they do know that there is rigging involved, which some people believe already is happening?
I was going to say, there's a lot of people that watch the NFL that like to say those things.
Yeah,
that
it's rigged. College women's basketball was rigged for Iowa, according to some. But if you believe it's rigged, I don't think that's stopped people from watching it per se. Maybe, maybe not. But the thing is, we don't know it for sure. But if we find out that there are players or officials or coaches or managers that are deciding a game by betting on one side of the other side of the pillow, as Stuart Scott used to say, they're betting on one side, and then they make moves to help them win those bets. It doesn't take, listen, it doesn't take much for a Major League Baseball manager to sway the game. All he's got to do is start a different pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Or all he's got to do is rest a star player and then let the information out to somebody, hey, we're not starting such and such. And we're going to give the starting pitcher an extra day of rest after people already bet on, hey, that team's going to win because they got their ace on the mound and he's a late scratch. If you are a point guard on a basketball team, you have a lot of sway as to how that game may go if a player's on the take, right? A manager, a coach, they decide who goes in, who goes out, a referee, an umpire. Angel Hernandez, holy cow, what the hell is wrong with that guy? And how's he got a job in Major League Baseball is beyond me, but perhaps he has blackmail on everybody. But it can easily, these things can easily be swayed. It doesn't have to be a whole team on the take. It could be just one player. In basketball, it's 5-on-5. So if one player is on the take, that's 1/10 of who's on the floor. Now imagine if there's a couple and they work together. I mean, it's not hard to turn a ball over late in the game in a close game to help cover an over or under. It's not that hard if you're on the floor. That's the key, of course, to make sure that the other team covers even though you still win the game. And I talked about this before. Players we've seen on NBA benches, we've seen their reactions when some guy shoots a 38-foot three at the buzzer that they immediately know if the game was covered or not.
Mm-hmm.
That is a dangerous slope that I warned people about as soon as this happened. I've been trying to bang the drum and let people know that there is trouble a-coming. And it's already here. And I called for it before it happened. But I'm talking it's going to be more and more and more. You got the Ohtani situation with his interpreter. You've got the, what was it, the Alabama baseball coach or the Arkansas baseball coach? I forgot which one for the SEC. Start with an A.
I can't remember either.
He got fired because of things. Jonte Porter now. Calvin Ridley. We've got other NFL players have been suspended for 4 or 6 games for various things. And don't sit here and tell me they don't know what they're doing. There are symposiums. There are meetings. There are clinics. They go through this with every player every year before the season with every one of these sports. And yet it still happens. Why does it happen? Are people that stupid? And the answer may be yes and no. Yes, they are, or they're addicted to something, or they think they're just smarter than everybody else, or it's just the thrill of whether you get caught or not, right? I mean, did you do something when you were younger where you knew it was wrong, but part of the thrill was if you could get away with it? Raise your hand. Mine's raised. Dusty apparently didn't. Okay, Dusty raised his hand.
I wasn't as much of a risk taker, but at least once in my life, I've probably done that.
If you did it once, that qualifies here. It's kind of the thrill of, can I get away with it? Instead of, oh my God, what happens if I do get caught? And that ties in with the racing by Rashee Rice that we talked about. And young people that speed or have races or do that. They're not thinking about the consequences. They're thinking about the thrill. And I've said before, I don't think people should live their life in fear. At the same time, does people just cast away everybody? They're not important and risk everybody else when they do things for the sake of a thrill. There is a happy medium, of course. And to each of you to decide what that happy medium is, I can't decide it for you. But here we are. A 24-year-old basketball player who is currently playing in the NBA has been suspended for life for gambling. I predict within a few years, nobody's going to remember Jonte Porter. Nobody's going to remember he got suspended for life because there's going to be enough other stuff that happens between now and, say, a couple years from now, or shall I say even 6 months from now. Anybody that is surprised by any of this, you are some of the most naive people that I've ever talked to over the radio, and you have not been paying attention. And maybe you don't care, and that's fine. But you will care if you do bet on a game and you lose because Jontay Porter influenced the game. Here's another thing you got to worry about a little bit. And I know this is kind of further along down the line here. But we already have people that are betting so much on games and then threatening women's college basketball players because they lost a bet. Let that sink in. What do you think some of these bettors will do if they find out that you did purposely rig the game like Jontay Porter? I don't want to go too crazy here, but they may just try to find out where that guy lives if it ruined their life.
Oh, yeah.
And you may say that's a stretch. No, I don't think it is. That is a dangerous precedent and a slippery slope to go down. And so then you come back to the question, well, what's the big deal? Do you get it now? If you don't, I'll have to sit down with you and talk about it some more. The integrity of the game. Will people still watch if they knew it, if it's all rigged? Yes. But will a lot of people not? I think yes. Your ratings will go down. Ratings go down. TV contracts go down. Less money for the players, less money for the coaches, less money for the owners. You want to know why billionaire owners, and you want to know why the NBA came down so hard on Jontay Porter? This is what my oldest son said. He goes, boy, life seems a little severe. I go, it does, doesn't it? I said, you got to make an example of somebody immediately. When you have evidence that this kid, Jontay Porter, did what he did, you cannot just slowly step and slowly address it and go, okay, he gets a 10-game suspension. If he does it again, it'll be a half a year suspension. This isn't Draymond Green, you know, doing something stupid on the court. Well, he's a multiple offender, so now he gets 15 games. Well, Jontay Porter is the third time he's rigged a game. He'll get 15. No, no, no. You've got to take this super seriously. Adam Silver is no moron. Adam Silver knows it. Roger Goodell knows it. Rob Manfred would surely know it, although it looks like Andrew Hernandez is making it obvious
what he's doing. Yeah.
But the commissioner of the NHL, any, and we already saw the NCAA president, and they, all of a sudden they were like, oh, we need to stop sports books from offering these things on college players and how many points they score in a game and how many rebounds they grab. It's like, wow, welcome to the party. You just now realize this? Hello, call yourself Mr. Reactive. These owners who are billionaires with a B, these players who are multimillionaires in many situations, these coaches who are multimillionaires, these institutions, these organizations, there are a lot of people that are involved in sports, ranging from people in management, people that work every day at the games. Here's your trickle-down effect. And maybe you don't care until it affects you. But the trickle-down effect is that if you have this big-time problem that you cannot curtail with players rigging games or betting on games they play in or providing information to sway games, if you do not nip this in the bud very quickly or at least try to send a message to everybody else to deter this type of involvement and activity, people are going to lose their job. What do you mean, Wade? I don't get it. If the ratings go down because people know things are fixed or that the league is not addressing the issues with players giving information to sway games, and the integrity of the game is threatened or questioned big time or even known to be rigged, your ratings will go down. Well, people will still watch. Yeah, I didn't say they wouldn't. But your ratings will go down. You'll have a lot of negative publicity. Your ratings go down. There's less money for players. Then the owners don't make as much money. Guess what the owners will do when they make less money? They will cut.
Yeah.
And who will get cut? We're not getting as many people. It's not a sold-out stadium. We don't need as many ushers. We don't need as many maintenance people. We don't need as many concession stand workers. That's the trickle-down effect. If you really want to open up your eyes and take off your blinders, that's a trickle-down effect. Well, it's not going to affect me, so I don't give a rat's, you know what? Okay, it might not. But if you're a sports fan, it will. Eventually, it'll affect you if this continues to go. And here's the other dangerous precedent. I've said already about this. ESPN is a complete and utter, what's the word I'm looking for? Not word. I guess words, but there's probably a better word for it. ESPN is the epitome of a contradiction. ESPN is a conflict of interest all the time now. And it's been that way for a long time. It's not just ESPN. There's conflicts of interest. Like when some league, well, the NBA, with the whole thing with China. Where was ESPN going hard on the NBA for what they're allowing to happen with that whole deal? Well, they're partners with the NBA. There's conflict of interest, so thus they're not going to report on really what they should be doing, and that's hard journalism in some cases maybe, and they don't do that anymore. ESPN has their own gambling platform now. It's kind of ESPN Bet. You wonder why these talking heads and these big national reporters don't talk as much about these gambling things that we talk about in Glen Elder, Kansas? We don't have a partnership with the NBA, okay? We don't have partnerships with these leagues. The ESPN now has their own entity called ESPN Bet. They want you to bet even more so they can make more money because they've been losing money and laying off good people. They want you to bet more money. And do you think they're going to be putting down and encouraging you to not bet? Even after Jonte Porter suspended for life, do you think ESPN is going to lead every show with this? No. Do you think ESPN's going to go, all right, you know, this gambling stuff's kind of out of control, or we've got a real big problem here. And if somebody on that network really goes all out and says the things I'm saying right now, that, hey, ESPN is part of the issue, and all of these legalized states for gambling, part of the issue, that person's going to get fired.
Somebody says, hey, we got to
That's called a whistleblower, ESPN, right? We talked about it, whistleblower. You're getting paid. You don't want to take that chance, so you won't. And so thus, we, if our main component of information in sports is ESPN, for example, if you watch ESPN all the time and you believe everything on ESPN, you have no idea that there's an issue with gambling that much. You think there's an isolated incident, but do you think it's really that big a deal based on what I'm telling you? Of course you don't. It's the same thing when you watch Fox News or CNN and you watch that channel all the time for your information. You turn into a zombie almost, and you believe everything that that network tells you. And what you don't realize is some of it's right, some of it's exaggerated, some of it is agenda-leaning, it has a narrative. And the same thing can happen whether it's CNN, MSNBC, Fox. It'd be the same thing if you watch just one sports network. If you just watch one sports network, you wouldn't even know that some sports even exist. If you only watched ESPN, there's a lot of sports that don't even get covered. They're not as many highlights used to be, and then they have a whole segment about bad beats, which is fun to watch for me. I think it's funny to watch these people. This sounds crazy to say. I think it's funny when people lose their money because some crazy shot happened in the game. Like, you got what you deserved. You know, if you're going to bet on people you don't know anything about and teams you know nothing about, how can you get mad when some kid you've never met throws up a 40-foot hook shot just for fun, a walk-on off the bench, and they cover? You know, you knew going in you could lose your money. So, yet people get all mad when they lose their money. It's like, you're the one that chose to do it. That's like getting mad at the slot machine and punching it because it took your money. You're the dumbass that put it in. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. But you're the silly person that put it in. Okay? But if you weren't willing to lose it in the first place, you should have never put it in the slot machine. But that's the thing that addicts and gambling addicts don't understand. Okay? And so it is about the integrity of the game. So why is Jonte Porter being punished way more than a basketball player that assaults somebody in a nightclub. That has nothing to do with the integrity of the game.
No.
This
I mean,
does.
The integrity of the team can come up if you keep that guy on your team when somebody something like that happens. And that's happened with the Chiefs multiple times.
Yes.
Tyreek Hill was the start of it when they drafted him, right? Like that, and Larry Johnson even before with a different regime.
Javon Belcher killed someone in the Arrowhead parking lot.
Yeah, and so, you know, it is one of those deals where those kind of things aren't affecting the bottom line of the league. They're only
That's
affecting
exactly
a team, right? Like Kareem Hunt only affects the Chiefs. But these things happen and somebody, you know, finagles the way the game's played, then that does affect the league. Here's one thing I want to add to the Jontay Porter part of this, because somebody like you're talking about naivete for some people, like you're naive if you think this is happening or this is happening. You're naive if you think that Jontay Porter did this for $22,000.
Exactly
one
right.
One thing that we've not talked about yet, but has been on my mind since you talked about it, is you think this dude is feeding this information to this guy for free?
No. That's what I was saying. He's getting kickbacks for the information.
Yeah, but let me tell you more about the kickback. This guy's made a career $2.3 million playing in the NBA. That's his career earnings, based on what I looked up just a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
This dude, he has to do this one time. Jontay Porter does this one time. Says, I'm sick. I'm leaving the game. He knows what his numbers are, over, under. What points, probably rebounds, maybe assists. I don't know what was all in the situation
props.
Of what was on the props. But he's got to do this one time. Say he's sick. Come out of the game. The dude wins $1.1 million. Let's be generous and say he's only taking a 20% commission off of that because he's being nice.
$200,000.
That's 10% of what he's made in his entire career, because 1.1 would go to 220 on 20% of that. That's 10% of what he's made in his entire career, because he can step out of one game and say he's
problem
sick.
Is he didn't get any of it.
That's the thing, because they found out.
No,
but in his mind,
yes,
he
right.
will get that.
Exactly.
Because he knows that all I've got to do is duck out of one game. Nobody's going to know that.
I'm not
ducking out of
player.
One game.
I'm not feeling
sick.
Well.
Yeah, I got sick. I'm not feeling good.
I got migraine.
He got to duck out of one game, and mm-hmm. he can make 10% of what he's made his entire career in the
yeah.
NBA.
Mm-hmm.
That's not 22,000. That's 1% of what he's made his entire career in the NBA.
Right.
Think about it. Go deeper with that.
That's right.
That's being generous, saying he's only taking 20% because he's helping this guy for a reason. He probably knows him.
And how many others do we not know about? He might have already made more.
Exactly. He's probably getting more than 20% on that.
Probably.
Then he's like, give me half of this, and I'll do this for
right.
you. Think about that. You make $5.5 million on one, or $550,000 on one decision, and you're a quarter of what you've made in your entire career, basically.
This just adds to why you shouldn't have individual player prop bets. We talked about this with college, but now we can apply it to the pros.
Yeah.
Because Jontay Porter leaving the game because he was ill, averaging 4.4 points a game, doesn't impact the game itself.
Not at all.
It doesn't help or hurt the Raptors from winning. I mean, if he's a key player, yes, but he was in the G League for part of the year. So when you have all these prop bets, you've just opened up the Pandora's box even more to where he can control what he knows is the numbers on him individually, and it still doesn't hurt the team at all.
Team, no.
So he doesn't feel guilty because it doesn't hurt the team at all.
No.
And how many guys have load management that could easily play? And he's like, yeah, what's the big deal if I, you know, go in, come out, and I'm not feeling well? Nobody's going to question it. Nobody knows how I really, truly feel. And cash in. It's that easy. That's why there's way too many bets that are out there. And it's harder to police. And as a player, you can control the betting of you can't control the betting of what's on you,
mm-hmm.
but you can control what you do in order for that bet to hit or miss with all the individual prop bets.
Yeah.
If you just simply had it off of team stuff, as I said before with college, there's plenty of stuff to gamble on in every imaginable thing stat-wise, because there's tons of stats out there, for the team and the opponent. Why, I said before, do you need to get down to Jontay Porter's over-under? Jontay Porter is the 11th man on the 12-man bench. Jontay Porter's over-under is 2.5 points tonight. Why do we even have that bet? There's no need for it. We've got enough other things to bet on. And so then Jontay Porter's like, well, nobody's going to care because, one, I don't play much. Two, my team ain't going to be affected, so I don't feel guilty about that. Three, Other people making money off of betting on me. Why can't I make money on myself? That's part of the thinking.
Yeah. And you get... The reason you get caught is you're stupid about it, too.
Like, yeah, sure.
What's this man putting five figures on Jonte Porter's under tonight for?
That's kind of odd.
And he just decided to leave the game with
sickness?
That's the
thing. Yeah, like, he might be dumb about it. Jonte Porter can be discreet about it, but the guy that feeds in, if he feeds the information, gets greedy and be a moron, that guy just basically ratted out Jonte Porter. And that guy doesn't get
$1 million.
And that guy's not getting suspended for gambling for the rest of his life, but Jonte Porter's done for the rest of his life playing in NBA. It's like, wow, you got a tremendous amount of trust. I mean, you better make sure you cash in before you get kicked out of the league, which he didn't get the money off this one.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So there is stupidity involved. There's no doubt about it. Okay. Speaking of money, Caitlin Clark is going to cash in. With Joe Biden, president of our country, whether you like him or not, and countless others bemoaning Caitlin Clark's meager $76,000 rookie salary, the WNBA sensation is now reportedly finalizing an eight-figure endorsement deal with Nike. The agreement will likely include her signature shoe, thereby putting the Indiana Fever rookie in a category with New York Liberty star Sabrina Ionescu as one of only a few women who can claim that honor. Adidas and Under Armour also reportedly had interest in signing Clark, who was picked number one overall at the WNBA draft on Monday. Caitlin Clark's rookie deal is $338,000 dispersed over four seasons. And the reason it is that low is it's limited by the terms of the WNBA collective bargaining agreement rookie pay scale, a labor deal that was negotiated back in 2020 before Caitlin Clark even played college basketball. Regardless, Clark's rookie salary is less than 1% of NBA first overall pick Victor Wembanyama's $12 million take, and that fact has reignited the debate over the gender wage gap in sports. Women in sports continue to push new boundaries and inspire us all, read a post on Joe Biden's X account, or Twitter. But right now, we're seeing that even if you're the best, women are not paid their fair share. Okay. Couple things here. First of all, don't feel sorry for Caitlin Clark, because she's going to make way more money with endorsements, and that's the key to it anyway. Secondly, so
tread lightly, right? I get where you're going.
So I think you do. Yeah. So here's the thing. First of all, I think our president has bigger things to worry about.
That is the number one thing on my list. Is like, President Biden, why are you doing this, dude?
Could you maybe focus on, I don't know, people that are poor?
There's a couple wars going on in the world right now.
A few wars. Yeah. And I'm not saying he's not paying attention to that. But if you want to stick with you worrying about what somebody's paid, how about this? How about we just worry about how about the unbelievable disparity in wealth in this country we have? And actually helping, you know, homeless people and people that are in poverty. And let's focus on that before we worry about WNBA players not making enough. I'm not saying that they shouldn't make more. But here's the thing. This thing, first of all, this has been going on for years in WNBA, but now suddenly people jump out of the woodworks and out of a closet that probably never even watched WNBA games, hardly ever in their life, or didn't even watch women's basketball in general in college, but now they love Caitlin Clark, and they jump out of this room that they've been, you know, secluded in, and they suddenly go, what a travesty! Caitlin Clark's only getting 1% of what Victor Wembanyama gets, and she's the number one overall pick. Oh my God! She only gets $338,000 over 4 years? That's poverty. Let me explain how business works. Just because Caitlin Clark is an amazing player doesn't mean she automatically gets way more money than everybody else, because there is a thing that we just talked about. That is a collective bargaining agreement. There is a rookie pay scale in place. Show me the WNBA ratings versus the NBA ratings. Show me the WNBA TV deal versus the NBA TV deal. The reason the NBA has a much bigger TV deal is, one, they were in existence way before the WNBA. Without the NBA, there would be no WNBA. Okay,
yeah, 100%.
The NBA is funding the WNBA, and they've kept it afloat when it's been bankrupt. Okay, and there's been organizations that have been losing money. The WNBA is there because of the NBA. And for people to cast stones at the NBA are people that don't know what the hell they're talking about. And so when they cast stones the NBA and they want to make this a gender issue and they want to make it a sexist issue, and they are sitting here and saying, and then the president says this, which is out of touch as well, because that might apply to various things in business and in the country. I'm not saying that doesn't apply. There's no doubt. I've spoken in favor of women, saying, listen, women sometimes work twice as hard and are twice as smart as men and get half the pay, whether it be in a like I said, a bank, whatever it is, okay? But in this case, it is a business model. And so you have a collective bargaining agreement, and the money is based on what? It is based mainly on the TV revenue that you get. Why do you think the NFL salary cap continues to go higher and higher, and why the collective bargaining agreement numbers move up with every single negotiating session in contract and agreement? Why do those numbers keep going up?
Because they're making more money from TV revenue. And
well, but the ratings go up.
The ratings are going up. So, you're making more money.
Right. So if there's more interest and more eyes watching the product, the ratings go up.
Yeah.
Thus, more people want to advertise because they know more eyes are on it. Why would somebody pay $7 million for a 30-second spot for the Super Bowl? Because they know there's the most people are going to, this is the most watched program every single year is the Super Bowl. Okay. So for $7 million, a company's got to decide, is it worth $7 million bucks for a 30-second ad? Some companies say it absolutely is. Are they going to pay $7 million for a WNBA final game?
No.
Of course not. But nobody's arguing and yelling about that. This is so stupid. So there are people that are arguing about how this isn't fair. Prove yourself. You know, the WNBA, if Caitlin Clark takes this league by storm and a few other players become household names and more people go to the games and pay to go to the games and more people watch the games, guess what's going to happen?
More people are going to want to put their product on what the WNBA is. They're going to make more money and the players are going to make more money.
Bingo. That's called business 101. It's not
hard
complicated
to figure out.
It's not complicated. So when you sit here and you say this argument is so baseless. I get it if you apply it to society where a woman's worked in a job for 20 years and she's done twice as much as the man, and the white man gets more money than everybody else in the company and he works half as hard. I understand it and agree. But that is not what is happening here. What did the NBA do wrong? They're funding it. They're keeping the league alive. If they didn't do what they've done, you wouldn't even have this argument that is baseless in the first place, because there would be no league in the United States to play in that's professional that the WNBA is. You know why people go out of the country, women players, and make even more? Because they can make more. You know why? Because it's a bigger deal in other countries. So in order for you as a woman, for the WNBA to make more money, you have got to get more people to watch your product. So that means what? You've got to be more exciting to watch. You've got to be more entertaining. You've got to be whatever, whatever, whatever. Caitlin Clark has done that. In college basketball, the ratings are better than the men's college game. Okay? You don't think there's more people now that are buying advertising sponsorships with the Indiana Fever than before? You don't think there are more people buying tickets to watch Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever? You don't think there's opposing teams and their fan bases paying more money to go watch Caitlin Clark when she plays the Phoenix Mercury or the New York Liberty? That is what will trend in the direction that will then eventually push up the salaries for these women. And they will make more money. But they don't just get it immediately. The league has to become self-efficient. The league has to become a product that people want to watch. College basketball for the women became a product that people wanted to watch mainly because of Caitlin Clark. So more people watched it. So then I guarantee you ESPN upped their advertising rates. I can assure you of this. And people are willing to pay more money to sponsor Iowa versus UConn in the Final Four. More businesses, I bet you, sponsored the Final Four this year than they do in past years for the women's Final Four. There were more people that are in the seats the last few years, and in particular this year, for second round college basketball games, and mainly Iowa with Caitlin Clark. Wherever she goes, people are going to watch. And that's great for the WNBA. But what Caitlin Clark did in college doesn't mean she gets $5 million or $12 million like Victor Wembanyama. That's not how this works. Because if she did, the WNBA is bankrupt and done. So you've got to build it. If you build it, they will come. You've got to build it. The NBA almost died itself. Mm-hmm. Larry Bird and Magic Johnson saved the NBA. David Stern helped save the NBA. The NBA was about dead on arrival. But guess what? You didn't hear the president at the time going, oh, God, these men got to be paid more, and the NBA's got to do better. No, the NBA figured it out, and they got a couple of great. They had a white guy and a black guy. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Two rivals in college that did great and met in the national championship game, then went to two prestigious franchises, the Lakers and the Celtics, and they're able to, God forbid, market these two guys. Next thing you know, they're doing shoe commercials together, doing some cool stuff together, and what's even better is they would meet each other in the finals multiple times, and the sport was saved. And then that set the stage for a guy named Michael Jordan that took it to another stratosphere. You have to have people you can market. The people come to watch athletic events and in entertainment in general. Why do you go to watch a movie sometimes? Because Brad Pitt's in it? Because Ryan Gosling's in it? Because Scarlett Johansson's in it? Do you go to a movie just because you want to see that movie? Yeah, sometimes. But aren't you a little bit more prone to go see the movie that has the names? Yes.
For sure.
Are you more prone to go watch Taylor Swift in concert or Logan Mize?
As a general rule, Taylor Swift.
More than anybody in the world. Okay? Well, Taylor started out at the county fairs, and she didn't get paid millions of dollars to appear at the Rooks County Fair. Did she complain about it?
No.
No, you just worked your way up, but eventually she's now this amazing star. So the WNBA will eventually make more money if Caitlin Clark ends up being amazing this year. And for her career. The WNBA will end up getting a better collective bargaining agreement, and there'll be more money in the kitty to disperse to the players. Will it ever get to the NBA level? I highly doubt it.
No.
Okay? I highly, highly doubt it. But to sit here and act like there's some fix in and that there's some sexist agenda in this gender gap between the women and the men, it is simply the model that is business. Okay? If the women's game can get the same ratings as the men, the women will get to that same level. It's as simple as that. If the women's game, the WNBA, gets the same rating as the NBA over a consistent period of time, the WNBA will eventually get players to start making numbers that men make. I can guarantee you that. I don't think it's going to happen, but if it did, that would happen. People have to watch the games. There's a comedian, I think his name is Bill Barr or Bill Burr. I don't know if you've
Bill
seen
Burr, yeah.
Bill Burr. Oh, my God. He has this whole thing about the WNBA. I saw it the other day. It's got a lot of bad language in it, but it's pretty funny. And he says, and I'm talking about how people are blaming the NBA, which is full of men. And he's talking about, so he goes, I hear all these women complaining about the men don't watch the WNBA enough. It's great basketball. Why don't they watch the WNBA? If the more men would watch the WNBA would get better ratings and women would be paid better. Those damn men. He goes, why don't you ask the women what they're watching? Why the hell are you watching the Kardashians when you could be watching the WNBA? You're watching Desperate Housewives of Reno County or whatever it is, and you're putting those ratings through the roof. You ain't watching WNBA either.
And you're watching a whole bunch of fake people worry about somebody that slept with somebody else, but you're not going to watch women that work together as a team to fight for one common goal. Hello, women. Why is this all on the men? Women have to watch the WNBA. All you women, and this is Bill Burr's whole thing,
yeah.
And he makes a really good point. Comedians are really good at making their points and being funny about it.
The really good ones know the line.
Yes.
Right? They're towing it, right? They're like, come this side, and then boom, they say something this person likes, but then 10 seconds later, it'll be something this on this side of the line likes. They're the best one. Dave Chappelle's at the top
He's
of that
very
list
good at that.
Of walking that line.
So this comedian's like,
Bill Burr's really at the top too.
He's good.
Yeah.
So he goes, dude, all you people yelling at the men, he's like, we're already doing this, this, and this, and now you want to make us watch WNBA basketball that you don't even watch. He's like, here's an idea. Quit watching the Kardashians. Quit watching Desperate Housewives. People you've never met that aren't even working hard at anything they do. And watch women sweat and dive on the floor and play for a common goal and our teammates and care and love each other instead of wanting to scratch each other's eyeballs out. If you women would actually gravitate and watch the WNBA, all of you, the ratings would go up significantly. Then maybe you can start to bribe the men on board. But when you blame the men for not watching WNBA, is there a rule that says women can't watch sports? I thought his bit is dead on. It is spot on. So it is. This is what people sometimes do. They want to grab onto something they know is complete full of baloney. And they want to make it a talking point, and they want to make it this, and they even put it in their stories. There's this reignited debate over discrepancy in pay for women. It's like, what the hell? It's the NBA and the WNBA, and one is, and I'm sorry, facts hurt, one is inferior to the other. That's not being sexist. That's being a fact. Now, is college women's basketball inferior to college men's basketball this year? You could say no. Okay, based on the ratings, right? Mm-hmm. At least you can back that up. But what, like I said, this is great. College basketball hopes and enjoys what they got with the women's side of things. But what are they going to do without Caitlin Clark going forward? Are their ratings going to go back to where they were? Are they going to be able to keep some of those new viewers? I don't know. What I do know is the NBA has a lot longer track record of putting out pretty good ratings. Is it as good as NFL? No. But it's pretty good. No, this is like complaining about a women's soccer league not making as much as a men's soccer league when the women's soccer league just started. You don't automatically get it's like you go to a sporting event and you're the last one in line and you somehow want to skip to the front of the line even though you got there an hour later than everybody else. That's not how it works. Well, we've got women's soccer players don't make as much as the men. Yeah, the men's league's been in existence for 15 years and the women's just started it. And you just think you should be on the same level? No, it's a business. You gotta earn it. You gotta get people to watch you. And I'd say the exact same thing if the women's sports were making all kinds of money and were first in, and men were starting a new league to try to compete with the women. I'd say the same thing. This has nothing to do with sexism. It has nothing to do with the gender of somebody. This is called business.
Mm-hmm.
It's business 101. Let me ask somebody this. Prior to Caitlin Clark, if you were a woman or a man, I don't care, man, woman, elderly, young, middle class, rich, whatever, Asian, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. You're just a human being, okay? But to keep it as simple as possible, whether you're a woman or a man or any type of person that has a heart and a brain, if you were asked a few years ago, let's say before Caitlin Clark came onto the scene, what business model you would invest your money in, the NBA or the WNBA, you know what most people's answers would be? The established product.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to invest in. You know there's a lot of risk. The WNBA almost floundered and fell apart already. The NBA kept it afloat. Why would you invest in something that almost died? Well, if you see a trend, Now, would you invest right now in the WNBA if they had stock? Yeah, I would.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, right now, great time. Great time. If you had stock in college women's basketball, heck yeah, you should have been buying before the senior year of Caitlin Clark. But what I'm saying is the WNBA didn't just start today. It's been in existence for a while. It has floundered ratings-wise. There are not as many games. It's half as long as the men's season. It is during a different time of the year to where it competes against other professional sports that take away from people watching as well. And you can make that as an excuse, or you can just say it is what it is. But let's not make what Caitlin Clark is getting that has nothing to do with the NBA. The only thing it has to do with the NBA is that the NBA has helped keep the WNBA afloat to where Caitlin Clark can get paid to play in the WNBA. And she's not going to be poor. She's going to get an eight-figure endorsement deal just with Nike. That didn't count all the endorsements she gets. Then people argue about the other women's players. They should be making more. Listen, I'm not going to say they shouldn't be making more. I'm not saying they're not talented enough to make more than $75,000 a year as a rookie. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is there's only so much money to go around.
It's the money that's available.
So that's what you get paid. And isn't that how it works in the real world? Like, you've got a company, and they have a budget, do they not? They know what their bottom line is. Does it make sense if your bottom line, you're netting $100,000 and you've got a staff, and then somebody you really like, you want to hire, and they say, I need $150,000 before I work for you. Are you going to hire them and then be $50,000 in the hole? Or are you going to say, maybe, nah, I got to hire the person that makes 50 and hopefully they can sustain themselves? Hello, it's simple math here. You only have so much money. You can't hire everybody. Well, I got a job opening, and I got enough money to pay one person. God, there's four people that are amazing. You know what? Y'all get your money, and I'll go broke. No, that's not how it works. No, it does not work that way. These people that are complaining about this don't know anything about business.
Yeah.
They just want to say, it's sexist, and it's mean, and it's horrible. No, this is way different than what the president's trying to claim. Okay, it has nothing to, this is, to me, it has nothing to do with what we see in society with corporations. That is completely different. Okay, it's completely different. This is simply two business models. They shouldn't even be compared to one another. It should be on its own merit. If the ratings go up, the players will make more money. If the product is more entertaining, and people show up to watch it, and they buy merchandise, and they watch it online, and they watch it on TV, and they pay money to be in the seats, guess what? The money will start coming in. There'll be more money in the kitty to disperse with the CBA. And next thing you know, Caitlin Clark will be making $1 million a year instead of $76,000. And other players will make more. But you've got to get there first, and they're not there.
You come full circle. Wouldn't it make sense, though, that the president says this to just throw out money that he doesn't have and just, you know,
yeah,
spend it even though you don't have it?
That's basically what we're saying.
Like, it makes sense now that the president would say that, because whoever's in that office is usually pretty good about spending money they don't have.
Our government's very good at spending other people's money. Yes, it's called taxpayer money.
Trillions of dollars in debt that we've talked about with the country.
Well, that's a good point.
Like,
we're $1 trillion in debt. We don't know why the WNBA just doesn't pay every player $1 million. Well, see, here's the thing. This is the thing. The businesses, if they go belly up and have no more money, except certain businesses, don't get bailed out. That's pretty much done, you know? We just can't kick the can down the road and threaten to shut the government down every 3 weeks or every 3 months and keep things afloat and keep trickling and keep going further in debt. No, that's not the responsible thing to do, but you make a good point, Dusty. Maybe that's what our government thinks and our leaders is, well, you know, you just could give them a whole bunch more money. It grows on trees and you'll be fine, because that's what we tend to do. That's a good point, Dusty. Very good point.
It all makes sense that the president would say that. Now,
yeah.
So,
and by the way,
he's
not the first president to say various things about things that they don't really know much about.
Yeah, he's not. There's going to be a long list of that, right?
Oh,
it's going to go way back. Even probably in the 1800s, they're talking about stuff they really didn't know about, probably, right?
Right.
And then finally, changing gears, the Philadelphia Eagles run to a Super Bowl win won't be forgotten anytime soon, certainly there in Philadelphia. But Jason Kelce, who just retired, he was a center for the Philadelphia Eagles. Of course, he's an older brother of Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce. Jason Kelce lost a rather valuable piece of memorabilia from the Super Bowl win. On his New Heights podcast with his brother Travis, Jason Kelce revealed that he lost his Super Bowl ring in a rather unusual manner. Jason Kelce, along with his brother Travis, held the Great Lombaby Games at the University of Cincinnati. And this happens, I guess, every year. The competition between athletes and academics involved a game wherein competitors dove into pools of skyline chili. Unfortunately for Jason Kelce, contestants weren't the only ones taking a dip in the chili. Jason Kelce said he lost his Super Bowl ring in one of the pools of chili, and it is gone forever. He said, and I quote, "I legitimately lost my Super Bowl ring in this event. They could not find it. We have still yet to find it. All of this stuff has now been thrown away, so I think we can safely assume that my Super Bowl ring is now in a landfill someplace in the Cincinnati tri-state area. I didn't think that would happen." He has put in an insurance claim, which I think has no chance of winning, but whatever, and trying to get an insurance claim to replace the Super Bowl ring, or maybe you just have to pony up the money and pay for another one. I don't know. But, man, I don't know about you, but I'd worked so hard to get a Super Bowl ring. If I was Jason Kelce, I would have been sick to my stomach for a long, long time, if not still today, because I don't have my Super Bowl ring because I lost it in a big old pool of chili.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, yeah, okay, this is an event. You want to show it off, probably.
And but wouldn't you think you'd take it off?
Before I jump into
But I do understand that you might have forgot about it.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand.
I can get it. I get it. I understand it. But it's like in my mind, I'm like, you just show it to people and then give it to your... Give it back.
Never put it on your hand,
exactly.
Actually.
Yeah.
Just hold it and show them. Yeah, right. What a crazy story that is. That has to still bug him, I would think.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But they're having fun with it, and it does help that he's made millions of dollars in the league to compensate for his horrible loss of a ring. But,
yeah.
But, you know, once again, you know, it's not right that he made all that money, you know, and others did not make as much. But, anywho, I think you get the point of all of that. That's the sports ticket for today, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.